I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 1039 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find a safe space for the independent thinkers out there. This is also the second live broadcast now from MAMAZ, the Mike Madison Autonomous Zone. I'm going to take that idea and run with it. I've got all kinds of great ideas. If we can set up our own country and make up our own laws and our own rules, I finally have created my libertarian utopia here, just, I guess, within a 6 foot, within my social distance. I guess I can maintain my own country. My country moves around with me. I don't have a geographic area for this yet, but doesn't really seem to be any rules. So welcome to MAMAZ. Lots going on today. We'll talk about a bunch of it. The story of the police officer getting charged out in Atlanta. This is turning into a thing, isn't it? The shooting of the guy fleeing police by the Wendy's in Atlanta was pretty horrific. I've never been in a situation like that officer was in, and I have some sympathy for him because we know what happens with adrenaline. The only thing I can really – I've been on the receiving end of a robbery. I have kind of stared what I thought was going to be death in the face. I've recounted the story here before, but a masked gunman came in when I was managing a restaurant and robbed the place, and he had already shot – I heard shots before he came in. I thought he had already killed – some of my kitchen staff. So as I stared at him, which they say you're not supposed to do, by the way, and gave him the money, I kind of thought, well, once I open the safe and give him the money, I'm gone. But I am kind of an adrenaline person. I've gotten involved in a few fights in my lifetime, and I am not a big guy. I have no business fighting anybody. But particularly if there's a little bit of alcohol involved, back when I was kind of college age and somebody starts messing with one of my friends, I will jump up to somebody's defense, even though I'm probably not the best. I had a nose broken. It was a soccer fight. Somebody was fighting one of the players. I grabbed onto the – tried to pull the player off my player. He fell on top of me, and I was pinned to the ground where my face was pummeled. Nightclub fight the day before I got married, during my bachelor party, one of my best friends and one of the guys, one of my groomsmen, ended up getting into a fight in the bar, and I jumped into it. I'd had my nose broken twice previous to that, so it probably wasn't a wise move. Luckily, it didn't go very far. But I understand the adrenaline stuff, but I look at that police officer and think, oh my gosh, now in a Wendy's drive-thru with all of those people sitting there waiting on their food. And I know adrenaline overtook him. I'm sure he tunes out everything else. Again, I've never been in that scenario, particularly when you've got a firearm. I'm not talking even about the silly little fights that I've gotten into. I'm talking about a life or death situation. But it's really unfortunate that at this particular time that this officer ends up doing this, and they've charged him with what I understand is first-degree murder, which is a wild overcharge. Now, I believe what he did was wrong. They had the guy's car. As bad as the guy resisted, the guy certainly deserved a prison pounding for resisting arrest, deserved to lose his car, lose his driver's license, spend some time in jail for the altercation and the obvious DUI that he was in trouble for in the first place. But they had all of his information. They had his car, and he was running away. He should not have been shot in the back, and that's the heat of the moment thing that has destroyed this cop's life forever. I mean, just completely wrecked his future. Not only killed this idiot who fought the police when they tried to handcuff him, but it has destroyed this cop's life for the rest of his life. And for some reason, and I can't quite piece this out, apparently what I understood from the news this morning is the other cop kicked the body while it was down. Again, another stupid adrenaline move that's got the second officer who didn't fire any shots at this guy that was just involved in the scuffle while the guy was resisting arrest has now also been charged with, I believe, aggravated assault. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine last night, an attorney who does some representation of police officers when there are officer-involved shootings. He actually represents the police officers. I believe he may be the first call that's made, even in the middle of the night, if an officer's involved in a shooting. They call him as their representation around a shooting. And, you know, he and I were discussing it and said, I can't imagine how this is going to affect the rest of the police, not only around the country, but you're hearing today in Atlanta that the police are calling in sick in pretty large numbers, supposedly. I haven't really heard the exact details of that, but boy, we are going to get to a tipping point. I've said since the beginning of this thing, and I'm not a big fan of the system of policing in this country. If you listen to the show for any period of time, you know that that's the case. I think we are over-policed. There are too many interactions between police and the citizens for victimless crimes, things that are just deemed to be crimes by a bunch of politicians. But at the same time, I can't appreciate the service that the police, on the good side of keeping people safe, the functions that police form. And, you know, it seems to me the police may just get into a situation where they just have to go galt, like the Ayn Rand thing. Basically, they just say, okay, you don't want us? We're out. They could just sit out for a little while. It would not be long before people realized the horrific mistake that they made by asking for the abolishment of police and acting like police are the biggest threat to entire communities, which is simply not the case. Anyway, I feel bad for the fact that this guy lost his life in Atlanta. I feel terrible that this cop has just chosen the absolute wrong time to make a horrible mistake, and they are going to make an example out of him. Hopefully, maybe they've overcharged him so that it's harder to convict him, but I don't believe that, because I think Atlanta knows if they lose a conviction against this guy, then you're going to see complete outrage in the streets. But it's destroyed that cop's lives. The cops were young, too. I believe the officer involved in the shooting, 27 years old, and he is now in a jail cell with no bond over a split-second decision in the heat of the moment. That is a tough way to live your life, I got to say. I'll probably get around to some John Bolton stuff today. I told you so. I'm gonna say it a lot because I've got other, you know, I'm gonna tell you the same thing about a lot of other people. Mike Pompeo in the State Department, he's gonna turn out the same way. It may take a little while, but you're gonna see, particularly if Trump wins a second term, you're gonna see Mike Pompeo turn on Donald Trump because Mike Pompeo is equally a snake. So nobody wanted to listen about John Bolton. You wanted to justify the hiring of this megalomaniac psychopath. I actually see some people, it's kind of interesting. Psychologically, it's a fascinating time. On all sides of the spectrum, as an observer, to watch communities say they want to just abolish the police. You know, they're so concerned with violence being perpetrated upon them by a few police officers that they want to abolish the police, which just assures that violence will be visited upon them over and over and over again. It won't be by police. I guess that's an upside. You will unleash the criminal world to prey upon your community. You will be meeting violence after violence. The violence rates will spike in communities without a police department, but at least it won't be police violence on you. I mean, is that really the point? So psychologically, this is a fascinating time. I've seen with this Bolton thing, I've seen people actually say that Trump hired John Bolton, got exactly what he needed out of him, tossed him aside at exactly the right time, played him. Trump played Bolton. That it was a genius hire and a genius fire. Fascinating to see. No, it was a huge mistake. Trump kowtowed to one of his biggest donors in Sheldon Adelson and hired a complete psychopath warmonger, and now it is coming home to roost with this book, and we may talk a little bit about what's in it. I know already the reaction to most people. Now, I'm here addressing independent thinkers. If you're a regular listener to the show, You probably don't have to think in the two party lines. You don't have to be all 100% with Trump or 100% against Trump. You can kind of think for yourself. I know what people will say. Oh, that book is just lies. Now, John Bolton's one of the scummiest people that's ever walked planet Earth. And I'm sure he's told plenty of whopper lies in there, but I don't know what's true and what's not true. But I do know it's going to cause Trump a tremendous amount of trouble, particularly on the near side, and may lead to some more ridiculous impeachment charges on the backside. But anyway, we'll get to that stuff later. When I come back, I wanted to talk. I posted this to my Facebook page, which is The Mike Madison Show. I'm almost embarrassed. It's almost like I'm admitting to something gross when I tell you I have a Facebook page at this point. It's just I keep it. I mean, you know, people may find that. I don't know. I'm going back and forth on this stuff. Facebook actually came out with a pretty good policy yesterday that I liked. Now, I haven't examined it. Maybe I'm missing something. But I think in response to this, the left wanting Facebook to censor Trump or misleading, you know, what they say or misleading or misinformation political posts. Instead of Facebook stepping into that trap and forcing themselves at the behest of the left to be censors of the right, they just said, well, we'll just let users opt out of all political advertising. That, to me, is a winning strategy. I am down with that. Now, I don't use Facebook very much. I don't even know if I've ever seen a political ad on there because I'm not on it. But I would imagine if you're a user, do yourself a favor, do your mental health a favor, and whatever tool they're giving you to opt out of all political ads, go ahead and do that. That's a good solution as far as I'm concerned. So Facebook gets a little bonus point for that, as bad as the organization is. But Google is the main target today. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Google, with that NBC reporter going into deplatform, demonetize, Zero Hedge, and the Federalist. I'm going to give you ways to reach NBC. And then I'm going to talk a little bit today about how to de-Googleize your life. And then I'm going to tell you why. And then I'm going to tell you about another huge monopoly that nobody else is paying attention to that is actually more dangerous, if you can believe it, more dangerous than Google. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
One thing that I do not tolerate well is whining. There was essentially, when my children were young, there was zero whining. Doesn't mean that they didn't object. I didn't get into arguments with my kids, that kind of stuff. But I don't think there was once a time we were out in public where there was a temper tantrum. And I think it's because I have just so little tolerance for whining. And there's a difference between, like, complaining, voicing an objection, and then just whining. How I view whining is complaining over and over again, but being helpless about it. You don't do anything about it. You want somebody else to fix it for you. Or you keep doing the same thing and getting the same results and then constantly whining to anybody that will listen about it. I just have almost zero tolerance for that, and that probably is from my upbringing. I think I was taught pretty early. My parents were not going to suffer me whining about a bunch of stuff. And I guess I passed that down to my kids. I don't necessarily have whining kids, but I don't like it in public either. And I see within society, and with a little bit of disappointment on the right and conservatives, you know, us rugged individualists, I see a tremendous amount of whining without any action whatsoever to address the issue you're talking about, and we're going to talk about big tech censorship. I don't know many conservatives right now that are big fans of Silicon Valley. Obviously, hard left tilt, hostile to conservatives. And I hear about it endlessly, and you are absolutely right about that. And what Google has done, which we're going to talk about some today and talked about yesterday, is really very abhorrent, along with NBC, the scumbag NBC reporter who went after Google and the Federalist yesterday. But what I see conservatives doing is giving away all of their power. And now, you know, if you want to break up Google at the government level through antitrust, knock yourselves out. That's fine. I mean, I don't always like to go, but I'm open to whatever arguments. But here's the thing. Do you really have to sit around and wait for the government to do something for you? Doesn't that feel a little leftist? And yet I see it constantly. I see people who are just, it's like China. China stole our jobs. China this, China that. Trump's going to take China down. I can't wait till Trump renegotiates with China. Trump's out there going to take care of China. You've had 30 years. 30 years to not buy Chinese products if you didn't want to empower China, if you wanted to support American manufacturers. You decided not to. Well, we couldn't. I mean, they don't make anything here anymore. We had to buy our stuff from China. Well, I know, but that's a consequence of the first 10 or 20 years that American manufacturers were begging you to buy American. So you can complain about what's going on in China right now, but you can't whine about it like it just came out of the blue and China came in and took all of our jobs. China doesn't have the power to come in and take American jobs. China worked the system. They've got slave labor over there. They pumped out a bunch of cheap products. And then the last piece of the puzzle is, see, China can pump out all kinds of cheap products all day long. But if Americans don't buy them, then it's not successful. They don't take our jobs. Anyway, there's this thing, and it's this learned helplessness, and I consider it whining. I talk about this a lot in my health show. A lot of people constantly complaining about their health, but won't lift a finger. All they say is, well, I know I should, but, and then they've got a reason why they can't eat better, why they can't get off of damaging stuff. They've always got a reason, but it doesn't stop them from complaining, knowing that they've got the power right there. So let's take a look at Silicon Valley. For NBC, I meant to say yesterday, I contacted NBC with a letter, really just telling them I'm done. I'm done with NBC as a network. This was kind of the final straw for me. I can't stand any of the networks, but what this NBC reporter essentially worked with some outside groups that supposedly, air quotes here in the studio, monitor hate online and convinced Google to demonetize the Federalist and Zero Hedge. Zero Hedge was effective immediately. The Federalist, I think, maybe has got a couple more days to get their act in line to be approved by these so-called hate monitors to get their... Anyway, NBC reporter apparently kind of stoked this and got it done. So I sent a letter to NBC. You can send them a comment at nbc.com/contact. I know. I doubt it does any good. But I wanted NBC to know I'm done with them. And see, this is how conservatives, I see Trump is tweeting about this today, so it's getting some legs as an issue. This is how conservatives start to fight back. You actually let somebody know of your dissatisfaction, and then you withdraw support from that network. Now, I'm not huge into boycotts and blanket stuff. I don't care if somebody says something I don't like. I'm not boycotting Fox News just because I know 95% of it is just propaganda talking points. Television, essentially save Tucker Carlson. But I'm not boycotting them. I just don't choose to consume that product. I don't encourage anybody to boycott Fox News. Same way I don't encourage anybody to boycott, you know, CNN. They're just terrible. I guess theoretically I boycott. I don't know the last time I turned on CNN. It's been years and years, maybe during some national live camera stuff I wanted to check out. But, you know, But I did want to let NBC know. I mean, I've thought about calling or writing to WLBT here because I know my little letter to NBC doesn't make any big impact. But I thought, you know, if you start putting pressure on the local affiliates, and I don't want to punish poor little WLBT, our local station here, and God knows they're loyal to their employees. Have you looked at a WLBT newscast lately? It's the same crew that I remember watching in 1981, so they're to be commended for their loyalty to their employees. Boy, they will let somebody, I mean, you get a job with WLBT in Jackson, they will be at your funeral. They will be at your weddings. They will be at your funeral. They will be by, because they are not going anywhere. But, I mean, I've thought about putting a little pressure on WLBT so that maybe WLBT goes up the chain and goes, hey, we got to quit all this activism. We're supposed to be a news organization, not an activist organization. Anyway, if you want to reach out to NBC, it's nbc.com/contact. When I come back, I'm going to start getting into ways to un-Google your life. If you're mad at Google, and I'm mad at Google, and I have been mad at Google for a while, and I usually don't use their name unless I'm referring to them as a company, I at least, I mean, it's a small thing. I'm not taking a bunch of credit, but I'm at least the host that comes on here tells you to do an internet search. I don't tell you to G-word everything. As soon as I got, I'm just not going to use them as a verb. But here's ways, and I'm going to be going down this path. I could use some help if you've got some ideas. I mean, I've got a kind of a list here of ways that you can move outside of Google. Now, again, you can wait for the Justice Department to break apart Google if you want to. That seems kind of weak leftist stuff to me, to be honest with you. What you're saying is, well, I'm going to keep doing business with Google. I'm going to keep giving them more and more and more of my data so they can bundle it up and market it and sell it to people. I'm going to keep being Google's product until the government comes in and saves me by busting them up. Now, again, if you want the government to bust them up, I'm open to the argument. That's fine. But it doesn't mean you have to sit there and be a customer of theirs until the day the government comes in and saves the day. So if anybody is interested at un-Googling themselves, then we're going to talk about some alternatives in just a second. Then I'm going to talk about another huge monopoly people should be paying attention to, but they're not. I've also, as I said, The Mike Madison Show on Facebook has got the story that's kind of the main source for what I'm about to talk about. You can reference later on ways to get Google out of your life. I want Google out of my life, and I'm not going to wait on the government to do it.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I could probably use a little help. We're going to talk about de-Googleizing. I mean, if you want to wait for the government to fix it all for you, that's absolutely fine. But, you know, I just see an awful lot of conservatives offering up their data and being huge customers of the same Silicon Valley companies that you want to see destroyed. That doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, when I have a beef with, like, a local restaurant for some reason, I mean, I rarely ever do. But if I get bad service or I'm not, you know what I do? I don't go back there. That's my first thing. I don't call the mayor and say, you need to shut down this restaurant. So anyway, if you're at all interested in maybe moving away from Google, and look, I'm not a techie too. You're about to get a little bit of research I did last night. And I barely know what I'm talking about. If anybody has a better technical background, if anyone ever has ever done this, has anybody ever tried to move away from the Google blob that we have found ourselves in, the Silicon Valley blob? And here's the challenge, too. As I was researching this stuff and looking at it for myself, realizing enough is enough, I thought, well, I don't really, you know, a lot of the alternatives are Microsoft things. Well, God knows, I don't want to be supporting Bill Gates' company. I need to find out, does Bill Gates still get any money from Microsoft? You know, I mean, I think he's resigned. I don't think he's still on the board. I'm not really sure. But the problem is shifting from one of the Silicon Valley behemoths to another is not necessarily preferable. I don't really want to go any deeper into the Apple universe. I told you yesterday, I just tried a Spotify trial run. Like, I get like 3 months. I avoided any trials with them. They finally offered me 3 months. I thought, all right, what the hell? I'll do 3 months. Well, I find out they're censoring now too. So I'm done with Spotify. When I'm going to use my free trial, and when it's over, I'll move. You know, so it's identifying maybe some more independent players. And what you would do if the conservatives would ever adopt this mindset, there's a lot of talk in conservative circles and on the right about capitalism, free markets. There's not a lot of actual use of them. Now, I know Google is a behemoth. My little radio show is not going to topple Google. But if it ever swept through, if anybody on a national level, if Trump ever moved off of Twitter, he would create a whole nother thing. Why he has not done that baffles me. Trump, Kanye West, and Kim Kardashian all together, they're all buddies. They all leave Twitter and go to another platform. Boom. We got a new billionaire, whoever owns that company, and a mass exodus off of Twitter. Problem solved. At least there's some competition. I don't know if Twitter would die, but they would have a big competitor overnight. But see, conservatives don't really exercise these free market principles that they talk about. They wait. I mean, we've got a bunch of conservatives sitting around waiting for the government to take care of the big tech giants. I got to tell you, the big tech giants have got lobbyists flowing into Washington, D.C. Don't hold your breath on that. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow. It's time. But I'm not waiting on them. So anyway, 601-879-0002. If there's anybody out there who's tried to de-Googlerize their life. As far as I'm concerned, if the tech companies want to censor people and empower the cancel culture, then this is the time that we should take that as a signal to cancel them. Okay, closing down a Gmail account. I've got a Gmail account. This is going to be one of the things I need to transition from. So I'm going to say some things. I'm going to read a couple things. I barely know what they mean. I'm probably going to have to get some friends. Luckily, my son is a techie. Get him to maybe explain some of this stuff to me. But apparently, you know, leaving all your old emails at Gmail, you close down your Gmail account, then all of a sudden you don't have access to all of this stuff. Apparently, there is a remedy for that. Google Takeout is your friend, being able to download an entire email history and upload it onto a new computer to access via Thunderbird. Means you can have easy access to over a decade of emails. Okay, so here's the names. And again, this story is on my Facebook page. It's hypocritical. Believe me, I know how it sounds. I just don't have a website, and I need to fix that too, I guess, as I start taking this more seriously. These things are on here. I don't know what Thunderbird is. I don't know what Google Takeout is. I don't know what any of these things are. The same that can be said about Calendar and Google Docs. This person says they converted them to an ODT format and now keep it on cloud alternatives, which we'll talk about in just a second. So there is a way to take your emails with you, a record of all your emails, if you want to leave Google. And I'm just saying this again. It may sound kind of dumb. I mean, I'm so unqualified to even talk about this stuff, but I'm trying to make the point that you are a slave to Google. Google did not enslave you. You went voluntarily. And apparently, there is an underground railroad to get out of the Google plantation if you want to. As far as search, we've talked about that a lot here on this show. DuckDuckGo and StartPage are both privacy-centric search engines that do not collect any of your search data. This author says together they take care of everything that he was using previously for Google search. I use DuckDuckGo. I use a VPN. And in my research last night, I found out that my VPN uses Google's algorithm. So while my browsing history is apparently private using this VPN, apparently Google still is able to manipulate the search results. So I'm having to make that change. Believe me, I need a personal tech assistant. I'm hoping that's what my son is going to grow into. He's only in his first year at Ole Miss in computer science, but I'm really hoping. at some point he becomes a digital assistant for me because I've got no interest in this stuff. I'll do health things all day long. I've got no interest in technology stuff. I want it done for me, but apparently I do not have that luxury as of right now, so I'm going to take it upon myself. So there are those. I've also got an alternative to Chrome, which I'm sure a lot of people use, but I'll take a call first. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm good. I agree with what you're saying about Google and all of that, but we're too damn lazy to do that.
We are so convenienced
by all that. I mean, we're the society that bitches about China taking our jobs and then we go buy their crap.
Right.
We
elect politicians who spend massive amounts of money that we have to get from anyone China. I mean, so, you know, to be honest with you, I'm doing this segment to let people know there's alternatives. I don't care if you stay on Google. That's fine. Just quit whining about it. I don't care if you're unhealthy. But if you eat garbage and you're unhealthy, quit whining about it because you know how to solve it. You know, that's my thing. I don't have a problem with being whoever, you know, people being whatever they want to be. But don't whine about it the whole way while you know, don't whine about Silicon Valley the whole time you support every product they put out for the big four FANG stocks.
Mike, whining is what we do best.
It is easy.
By God, we are professional whiners. Don't take that away from us. If we take that away, then we don't do we have no contribution to society left. Our contribution is to be the biggest damn crybabies in the world.
It is so easy. It's just we look for the layups in life and in politics and all this stuff. We want the layups, but we want credit for taking on the powers that be while we enable them in our personal life. And this idea, and I don't know what you think about antitrust against Google. I really am agnostic right now because I don't know enough about whether or not that's overreach of government, and I'll need to do research into it. But good Lord, I mean, what else are we going to sit around and wait for? I mean, who knows when that would happen?
But we're the society that is going to sit there and let our politicians come home and tell us how they're against big government and the big corporations and big this and big that, and then we elect them so they can go back to Washington and be in favor of all the big.
Yeah, right. Well,
big spending, big corporations, big this, big that. We elect all these people that say, how many times have we elected Republicans who have sat there and told us how we need to get rid of all this government waste.
Department of Education must go. Obamacare must go.
Yeah, then they go back and create another damn government department to oversee our lives.
Yeah, or an investigation. They love investigations and task forces and an independent independent prosecutors. I mean, it's this endless word salad. Nothing ever gets done except the people could actually do something. You know, if you spend every Sunday after church going through Walmart to buy a bunch of stuff and then come to work on Monday complaining about the Chinese, there's something psychologically wrong with you if you can't make the connection.
I mean, there is, but like I said, whining is what we do best. If you take that away, then we don't even have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, well,
because everything we talk about is a complaint and whining.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, I'm going to empower people as a way to do this because I think that I'm going to work on it. I'm just going to pass it along for anybody who actually wants to stop whining and start acting. But I appreciate the call. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye. All right, when I come back, a alternative to Google Chrome. I guess this is a big browser. I don't use it. I use this VPN. But it's, like I say, I found out I'm actually getting Google results through my VPN. It's entirely confusing to me. But there is, we'll talk about things for Chrome, things for Google Hangouts, Google Documents, which I have used pretty extensively during my life. I need to wean off of. Look, it's not easy. It's like your health stuff. It takes a little bit of effort, but you have a choice. Either support them and just wait for the big hand of government to swat them down, and in the meantime, be one of their customers. And the sad thing is, they're selling your data. I mean, you are the product for Gmail, for all of these free services you're using, for these companies that you despise. They're actually invading your privacy. It's not even It's not even a passive thing. They are routinely abusing you and your privacy by selling your data across platforms, and everybody's sitting on their hands waiting for the government to come in and save them. It's just, it's sad. I can't sit by and watch it. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are looking today at alternatives to get Google out of your life. I feel dirty even saying their name over and over, but I want to make sure that we are correctly identifying at least the first target here. Silicon Valley, in general, needs to be taken down, but we're looking at Google today. And I know one of the objections is, Mike, you just can't do it. They're everywhere. This reminds me a lot of people who I've talked to about organic food before. And this is the argument I get. It's always fascinating to me. I'll only buy organic milk. And I got to tell you, if you look at some conventional milk operations, you'd go to organic milk too. But anyway, and people will say, well, how do you know it's even organic? Maybe it's not. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I'm trying. That's the best I can do. I am not prepared right now to buy a cow and raise organic grasses and feed it and love it and tend to it and milk it. So I have to do my best research to find a reputable brand that does organic milk. Granted, maybe they're getting over on me. But I'm not just going to say, well, it's hard and I might be tricked, so I'm not even going to try. It's learned helplessness in our society that we have to wait until the government makes everything okay for us all. It's pervading both sides. The left is especially bad, but I don't think there's any hope for them. I'm appealing to the right here on this show. Conservatives, take some action now. If you use Google Chrome as your search, I can't imagine the amount of data you were given Google on you, the profile that is being built on you if you use Google Chrome. At least I'm smart enough to not do that. Mozilla Firefox is an alternative. It recently got a big upgrade, which is a huge improvement from earlier versions. It's created by a nonprofit foundation that actively works to protect privacy. This article that I'm reading from says there's really no reason at all to use Chrome. Other alternatives, and this is where I found out, he said avoid Opera and Vivaldi as they use Chrome as their base. And then he goes on to talk about the Brave browser, which I've heard a lot about too, and I probably need to explore that. Again, see, I barely know what I'm talking about. I just know I'm trying to break free. I don't know what the path is. It's kind of like cord cutting. I've looked at that too. I don't really want to support any of the big cable companies. But I haven't really found that one way where you save money and break free of these people. I mean, this is a trap. It's not easy. We're rats in a maze, but there are ways out, free market ways out. Other alternatives to Google in other areas. Let's see. Google Hangouts and Google Chat. This Pete's mentioned something called Jitsi Meet, J-I-T-S-I Meet, an open source free alternative to Google Hangouts. You can use it directly from a browser or download the app. It's fast, secure, and works on nearly every platform. Zoom has also become popular, but it requires you to pay for most features. Signal, an open source secure messaging app, also has a call function, but only on mobile. Google Maps, some alternative to Google Maps. There's one apparently called Here We Go. And We Go is one word. Here We Go. Author says it downloads faster and can find nearly everything that Google Maps can. But for some reason, they're missing some countries like Japan. So, look, if you need the street maps of Japan, I might not be giving you some good alternatives here. But if you're just like the average schmo out here, then this might be all right. Mobile. Maps.me, There's also an open street map is a project that's being done, but its functionality is not great right now. Gmail, here's the biggie here. And I'll admit to you, you know, a free email account you can tote around with you is very, very convenient. Unfortunately, it's run by an evil corporation. I mean, that's just where we find ourselves now. I wish it wasn't so. I don't want to do any of this stuff. I don't want to look for alternatives. Google's made things very easy, but they're evil. I wrestle with that. Maybe other people don't. I do. I'm just not going to support them anymore. Proton Mail. This is the one that comes up all the time. Founded by a former CERN scientist and based in Switzerland, a country with strong privacy protections. The author says, but what really appealed to me about Proton Mail was that it, unlike most other privacy-minded email programs, was user-friendly. The interface is similar to Gmail with labels, filters, and folders, and you don't need to know anything about security or privacy to use it. Now, here's where I'll show you my ignorance, because I want to make sure people understand. I'm not a tech guy. If I can't point and click on a computer, I'm screwed. The free version only gives you 500 megabytes of storage space, which apparently is not much. I don't know how many emails that is. I think I've got something like 23,000 unread emails in my Gmail account right now. I get teased for it, but I don't. Does everybody clear out their email all the time? I don't do that. But you can get a paid account through Proton Mail. For calendar, Fastmail calendar. Doesn't sound like it's as easy to use. But then this story goes, and again, I'm running out of time here. I don't want to go into this because I sound like an idiot covering it, to be honest with you. All I'm trying to say is don't sit around whining about Google and Facebook and Twitter and Amazon. They're mean to us conservatives. Donald Trump, please save us. I mean, seriously. You want William Barr, the guy that started with the CIA, the deep state swamp creature, you think he's going to ride to your rescue? Now, I don't know if they're going to slap Google on the hand ultimately or not. They're making noise about it right now, but I don't know if you've noticed. There's a lot of talk out of Washington, D.C. Not quite as much action. A lot of chants for lock her up. Not a lot of door prison cells slamming. You notice this? So you might want to take it upon yourself. Google Docs, there's something called Nextcloud, Google Analytics. You can use that's only for people that get websites. And the story goes into if you use an Android phone, you know, you're right there in Google's backyard if you're doing that. But apparently Lineage OS and F-Droid App Store offers other things. And the story goes into some challenges there and some other stuff. So I posted this story, again, realizing the hypocrisy of what I'm saying as I attack Silicon Valley. But we're going after Google in this segment right here. The target is Google. So I've posted to my Facebook page, The Mike Madison Show, a way to get away from Google. One thing at a time. And then I'll be looking for Facebook. If we can get off Google, then I'll start tackling Facebook next. And Twitter I never got into in the first place. And Donald Trump could lead an exodus out of Twitter tomorrow if he wanted to. That's my frustration with Twitter. But when I come back, though, I'm going to talk to you about the biggest monopoly at all nobody's paying any attention to that should be dismantled toot sweet. Stick around for that. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Phone number here if you want to join in or if you have any other ideas for getting off some of the big Silicon Valley platforms. If you're just joining it, my theory is quit whining about Silicon Valley and Google and Facebook and Twitter and Amazon while at the same time being huge customers of theirs. There are other places. They're smaller. Maybe they're not quite as convenient. Maybe you have to adjust to things. But it's possible. Look, I'm like the last guy. You know what you talk about, early adopters? I don't know if it's my age or if I'm child. It's like there's a piece of my brain and technology stuff, but part of my brain is missing. Look, I've got an overdeveloped sense of, you know, health information and political and current events and foreign policy. Boy, that part of my brain is swollen up. It's a little shriveled area for technology. I'm using an iPad 2. I don't even know what number they're on right now. Occasionally it blanks out on me. This thing has got to be 12 years old, something like that. I found if you drop it, if you drop it, it'll come back to life. Strangely enough, it's worked. But I'm a late adopter on all these things, but it's not going to stop me from trying to make my way out of that. One last word on Google, and I'm going to say this again. I've talked about it on the show before, and the reason I'm even repeating it is that I was shocked that other people didn't know this because I know nothing. I mean, there are very few people are less qualified to talk about technology than me. For the love of God, when you search for something, don't click on the first link to it if it is an ad site. You know, you can search for something, and what Google will do is the first result will actually be a paid listing by the company you're looking for. If you click on that, Google gets, I don't know, a hundredth of a penny. I don't know what it is. Obviously, they get billions of people on their platforms a day, so it's not a whole lot. But every time you click on the ad-sponsored first result, Google makes money. When all you have to do is scroll down about 6 inches, and you'll find the exact same link that is not an ad for that company that Google makes money from. It's just the direct link to the company. Pay attention to this when you do a search. You'll see the first two or three will be ads, and if you click on one of those, you are actively sending money. Not only that, it's kind of ticking me off. You're making products to the rest of us more expensive because those companies that you were searching for in the first place now have to pay Google for that click. They pass those costs on to all of us. So that's one way to starve the beast. Please don't do that. The other thing that I'll say about tech stuff, again, it's kind of in this idea that Google should be broken up by the government. I don't know where. I'm willing to always say, I don't know. I'm repulsed by the idea that we need the federal government to solve a bunch of our problems. I'm a big free market guy. Like when I say I like free markets and capitalism, I actually mean it. Now, there's arguments to be made that Google is too big. And I've heard great arguments on those things. And I'm not arguing with those arguments. But I am saying another failing that I see with the American people is we want it now. We want it now. I'm going to tell you right now that Google and Facebook and all these companies, as entrenched as they are, I don't believe they will be the market leaders for all of eternity. Technology moves fast. I asked this question when we were talking about Twitter was censoring Trump or not. I misused that term. That's not true. Twitter did not censor Donald Trump. Trump got every word he wanted out into the Twittersphere. But they put little disclaimers and fact check. They did some annoying little things to his tweets, which I don't like either, but they didn't censor him. I can't stand it when people, Twitter's censoring Donald Trump. No, they didn't censor him. They just put some of their little namby-pamby disclaimers on his tweets. He got his word out. To my knowledge, I don't think they stopped any of his tweets. But I said at the time, it amazes me to look at the landscape of the right, of more conservative people, business titans, brilliant, brilliant people out there writing great pieces, and we are these rugged individualists. You mean to tell me on the right and in the world of conservatism, there's not enough capital and enough brain power to start something like a Facebook, to start something like a Google? Now, I understand Google's a big one. It's like a tree with a bajillion roots. But they can't even start a Twitter? Do you understand there are trillions of dollars floating around in conservative circles? Billions of it goes to lobby Congress for conservative causes. You mean to tell me that they don't have access to enough capital or enough brain power to start something which is essentially just a push notification app like Twitter is? See, that's free market. If you want to beat Twitter, you can sit around and wait for the government to do it for you. Kind of like the left wants the government to solve poverty and wants the government to solve this and the government to solve that. Well, I'm looking at the right saying, you guys can't get your act together to do a Twitter? Twitter doesn't look hard to me. I got to tell you, it just doesn't look hard. But we want it right now. Google will not stay. Ford and Chevy did not stay at the top of the heap in the United States. They did for a while, but when they started putting out subpar products and better products came in, people moved. Now, this takes a while, I understand. And in microwave America, where we want change instantaneously, when a cop does something wrong, we want to immediately abolish all police. I mean, you know, just the overreactions. We want our way and we want it now. Well, what I've just given you the last couple of segments is ways to start the movement towards places outside of the big Silicon Valley companies. Use the free market. It's right there for you to use. Don't act like you're helpless and trapped in Google, like Google has somehow enslaved you. They may have enslaved you mentally, but they don't have control over you. Exercise a little bit of control over yourself. I'm gonna come back. I'm going to talk about it. I know I keep kind of teasing this, but I keep finding little points to make. There's a huge monopoly in this country nobody's paying any attention to except for me. Well, that's disingenuous. A lot of people are paying attention to it. On Conservative Talk Radio, I'll be one of the only ones you'll hear this from. But there's a big monopoly that I think is more dangerous, has created more problems, and is worse for us going forward than even Google. And this is where I think if we really wanted to focus our attention, if we busted up this monopoly, some things might actually change and things would get better. We'll see what you think when we come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, you know, in tackling Silicon Valley, you know, I want to make sure that this is taken in the tone in which it is intended. This is an anti-whining campaign. I think Melania Trump is running the anti-online bullying campaign. I'm doing the anti-whining campaign. Justice Department may or may not bust up Google. I remember there was a lot of antitrust stuff about Microsoft back in the 1990s. Don't remember the resolution of that case. Got to tell you, feels like Microsoft is still a pretty big company. Still controlling an awful lot. What if the Justice Department fails in breaking apart Google? What if the Justice Department fails or Donald Trump's defeated in November? You just throw up your hands and go, well, nothing's going to happen to Google now. I guess I'll just keep being their product. I'll keep giving them my data until we can finally elect another Republican. Start now. Getting rid of these things. How old is Google? Google is 25 years old, maybe, when they started in their infancy. Been really big for probably the last 20. Was it kind of coming out of the... I remember the Google went public after the stock market crash. And just to be completely transparent and honest with you. I remember I was a financial advisor at the time, and I talked several clients out of buying Google. They IPO'd at around $100 a share, which at the time was obscene. I had just seen the dot-com crash, and I told several clients, I got to tell you, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. This is overvalued. I saw some of those clients a few years later when the stock had gone from 100 to 500, and I apologized to them. I was promise you I was operating in their best interest. This was before Google was an evil corporation. I didn't oppose them on ideological grounds. I opposed them on their valuation of their stock. But obviously, what did I know? Google turned into this massive behemoth. But my point being, you know, they're around 20 years old. How old is Facebook? 12 to 15 years old? How old is Twitter? Twitter's only like, what, they start in 2009? So they're like 11 years old and they control this mass amount of information that's flowing around. My point being that while an exodus from the Silicon Valley by a large swath of the population, which are conservatives, it may not happen overnight, but it would start to put a dent in these companies. They're not entrenched companies. That brings me to my point. What is the most dangerous monopoly out there right now that we really should be paying attention to breaking up? And this is not an easy one. I'll just go ahead and disclaim it right now. But how many sodas are there right now? If you want a soft drink, what do you? How many choices do you have? 100? 150? What about cars? How many car brands are out there? How many airlines? How many postage companies are out there? How many home builders are out there? Just within a local market, you've got your choice of dozens of people to build a home for you. Yet, for some reason, do you find it the least bit odd that we still, after 100 years, I don't know when they really took over, have the two-party system? We have choices in everything. When we want to buy a television, there's just walls littered with dozens of brands or maybe 12 to 15 brands in all different sizes and shapes for us to choose from and look at the reviews and make a decision. But when it comes to political parties in this country, you essentially have two choices. Now, that's not entirely true. There are other political parties. Many people who have listened to me right now may not even know that. Because this monopoly, I guess technically it's a duopoly, but to me, because I see both of these parties as essentially just two sides of the same coin, this monopoly controls everything. Do you wonder why the Republicans can have a debate with 16 people on the stage in 2016? And then they're widowed down and winnowed down and winnowed down until it's finally just Donald Trump and a couple of guys, and Trump comes out victorious. Just recently, we've seen the Democrats. What did they end up with? 23 people in the Democratic Party? They found room on the stage for, and they broke them up into two nights. On Tuesday night, you'll see the first 11 nut jobs. And on Wednesday night, you'll see the second 11 nut jobs go at it until we arrive at the king of the nut jobs. But they found room to make sure that you had 22 people or 23 people in the Democratic primary all debating for that nomination. Yet for some reason, when it comes to national elections, there's no room on the stage for the Reform Party with the Republican and Democratic candidate. There's no room on there for their Libertarian candidate. There's no room for the Constitution Party. No room for the Green Party. You ever find that a little odd? We've got choices in everything, but when it comes to political parties, nope. We're going to give you two. Now, the other ones are out there, and they're on ballots, but the idea is, but if you vote, you're just throwing your vote away now because there is no level of national prominence of these parties because they shut them out through ballot access laws. They shut them out through debate rules. Debate rules like, well, they can't even get 1%, so we're not going to allow them on the debate stage. We're not even going to waste time with these people. But the reason that these other parties and other candidates can't get to 1, 2, 3, 4% to start a fire is because they're shut out. Now, Ross Perot kind of broke that mold a little bit back in the 1990s, and I think they learned a lesson from that. They said, we can't allow that to happen again because Ross Perot came in and he got, what, like 23% of the vote. A lot of people think that he's the one that elected Bill Clinton over H.W. Bush by pulling off more Republicans than Democrats that led to a Clinton thing. But I just bring this up to you. That's a monopoly that's incredibly dangerous, this entrenched political system of Republicans and Democrats. I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, if you wanted to do away with Twitter, all you would have to do is get Donald Trump and Kanye West to move to a different platform and take their followers, and Twitter would be no more within a day.
Overnight. Now, I don't think Twitter necessarily would die, but what's the follower count between Kanye, Kim, and Trump? About 200 million people?
Yes.
And somebody gave me the name last time I talked. I mean, I have made this point over and over again. I mean, Trump could put a dagger in Twitter today. Here's what he could do. What's today? Thursday? He could make phone calls today and tomorrow to tell the new company he's coming to, say, hey, we're about to bring you a bunch of people. Make sure your servers are ready. You know, I mean, raise some private money. Make sure that their servers are robust so it doesn't crash and embarrass itself on opening day, and tell them, hey, next Wednesday, we're making the announcement that we're all moving to this new platform. And you're exactly right. Solved. Boom. Like that.
Yeah. And as far as the political parties go, I disagree with you that there are two. I think there's only one.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're two by name, but I say they're two, just two sides of the same coin. And that's why I refer to it as a monopoly. And this is the thing we really, I think, should be paying attention to. Google deserves its attention. I'm certainly giving it attention today and trying to put a dent in this pervasiveness of Google. But good grief, good golly. I mean, the most damaging thing to our country is this two-party monopoly that we've got that just allows nothing else in.
Well, another thing we need to pay attention to is, where is all the guns and ammunition that were bought during the Obama administration for all the alphabet soup agencies?
Yeah.
There needs to be an audit done of them.
Kind of feels like we might see it soon, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yep. I agree with
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank
Have
you.
A good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, Google is annoying. Facebook is annoying. Google is, I would say, you know, potentially dangerous. I'd say their stranglehold on information is borderline terrifying at this point because of the way they're exercising it. And I'll tell you, I'm coming to maybe rethink my position on that section 203, 230 exemption they get for. I believe that people who allow individuals to post something on their website should not be. I think the protections are good for free voices, and I believe repealing that protection may result in fewer regular everyday Americans being able to get their stuff online. But if Google's going to censor their users, it seems a little disingenuous to give them blanket immunity. So I'm open to arguments on that. But while Google and Facebook and all that, and just like caller just said, this is the frustration to me. The right, the conservative, we're supposed to be this free market, small, limited government. We solve our own problems. And I do believe that Donald Trump and his allies in Kanye West and Kim Kardashian, as sad as that is to me to say that I believe that Kanye and Kim are so powerful with their social media followings that they, the three of them together in a matter of a week, could affect that kind of change. I believe conservatives rallied around some other level of search engine. Now, I don't, you know, I want to find the information I want to look at. I don't want a right-wing search engine any more than I like having left-wing search engines. A lot of people are more happy with that. It's kind of like media. People say all the time, why can't we just have news that just reports the facts? Because American people, there's no market for that. You don't want the facts. You want somebody to tell you how smart you were for all the decisions you've made. If you're a Republican, you want a network that tells you what a great, wise move you made to be a Republican. And if you're a Democrat, you want a network that bashes Trump and tells you how right you are to oppose Donald Trump. Almost nobody wants objective news. That's why there is no objective news. There's no market for it. So my capitalist mind says, while I would like that, I realize I've got to face facts. I have to try to parse the truth out of Fox News on one side and MSNBC on the other side, and then use my independent thinking skills to figure out what in the world's going on in this world. Because I know neither one of them are going to give me the truth. If I thought there was a market for an objective news source, I would say somebody would start it. But they won't, because there is no market. And that's the sad reality. Additionally sad because I attempt to do a show. that is apolitical, that challenges conservative beliefs on a daily basis. It may not be the best business model for my show. I just don't know any other way to do it. You know, if you've got a juggler, you don't put him in the show as a sword swallower. I mean, I just know how to juggle. I'm not good at doing the stuff other people do. But the entire point of even talking about this today is to realize these monopolies and the political party monopoly. And when you're talking about an organization, if we talk about them as one, the Uniparty, the Republican-Democrat Uniparty, they get trillions of dollars of taxpayer dollars. Do you know the power that they wield? Now, Google has this stranglehold on information in a lot of ways. I've spent the first hour giving you alternatives to that to maybe circumvent some of that, but all credit given to the fact that they are very powerful. But you want to talk about power. Put the Uniparty in a city in Washington, D.C., and let them be in charge of handing out $5, $6, this year probably around $8 trillion. Do you know the amount of corruption that breeds? Do you know how that does not serve you? Now, what would happen if we had a bunch of parties up there? Well, Mike, that would be chaos. They'd never get anything done. And to that, I say, thank God. The less they do in Washington, D.C., the better. I'd like to see the whole place essentially shut down. Maybe something about the size of a DMV for a few minuscule things and to let the states do it. I'd at least like the lobbyists to have to work for it, to go to fan out to 50 states to get a hold of juicy taxpayer cash. But they don't. It's like shooting fish in a barrel up in D.C. You get 537 massively flawed, corrupt human beings, slap an R or a D on them and put them in charge of doling out $5, $6, $7, $8, $10 trillion. And then we all sit back and go, I'm shocked at the corruption that goes on in Washington, D.C. Mike, have you ever noticed that people go into Congress and they leave wealthy? Really? I wonder why. If we had a dozen parties up there constantly fighting, then the lobbyists would go, this is hopeless. I mean, we can't get anything done up here. There's always somebody opposing us. They can't get a consensus on anything. At this point, that should be our goal. Maybe a president to be a statesman around the world, to kind of be the face of the United States that goes around and shakes hands, not slaps faces, but shakes hands with other countries, making it clear, hey, don't mess with us. Don't come over to our shores or to any of our islands or territories. We're pretty sensitive about that, but we'd love to trade with you. We'd love to get along with you. A president to do those kinds of things, and then basically nothing else in Washington, D.C. But the biggest monopoly of all is not Facebook, it's not Twitter, it's not Google, it's the Republican and Democratic Uniparty in Washington, D.C. I would love to see some action taken on that, but I don't think we can count on the Justice Department to take that one.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, broadcasting live from the new MAMAZ, Mike Madison Autonomous Zone. Yeah, I was thinking about that. If I get pulled over for speeding, I'm wondering if I have diplomatic immunity. I'm wondering if I should cover my car and all kinds of lettering explaining that the occupant of this car and the car itself are property of the Free State of MAMAZ, the Mike Madison Autonomous Zone, and that, you know, will look like one of these crazy people rolling down the road. I don't know. I'm just new to this is a new country. MAMAZ is brand new. We're feeling our way around. Still accepting applications. anybody. Can't want to mess with anybody, but you're also not going to be provided for. Everybody's on their own. You got to be responsible for your own children, but you're not responsible for anybody else. There are no taxes in Mamaz. That's the beautiful thing. I'm not sure how that works out with this country that's around me. I understand that the country that Mamaz is placed in the middle of has got a very onerous federal tax system, but we don't recognize that in Mamaz. I'm not sure how that'll work out. I'll keep you posted from whatever cell I occupy at the time. I was talking earlier about how is it, Mike, that all these Congress critters go up there as just average Joe Schmoes. They're city councilmen, and then they're suddenly representatives, and then senators, and then they retire, and they've got millions of dollars in the bank. How can that possibly happen? And I tell you, I mean, they're in charge of doling out trillions and trillions of trillions of dollars. I ran across this story a couple of days ago. 10 days ago, stocks soared on talk of a $1 trillion fiscal stimulus bill being mulled by the Trump administration. Now, I'm going to get into this. Republicans are acting like they care about spending suddenly on this one, which I encourage. It's just, pardon me if I'm a little cynical at the, you know, their ability to spend and oversee about $10 trillion in stimulus to the economy, and especially to Wall Street, $9 trillion to Wall Street, $1 trillion to the people. But suddenly they've decided, fiscal responsibility. We'd forgotten. It's like somebody woke it up in them. Oh, we forgot. We don't really have this money. Oh, really? My point of reading the beginning of the story is that isn't that interesting that when the stock market seems to go down, then some tweet comes out or some announcement or some policy in the market soars. Now, wouldn't it be great if you knew before time that a $1 trillion infrastructure bill was going to be proposed? And when I say before time, I mean like 5 minutes before the announcement's made. Well, maybe 10 minutes if it takes you a minute to fire up your computer. You got to log into your stock account. Depending on the speed of your computer and your connection, maybe you want to do it on your phone and you've got to find a good set. You know what I mean? Maybe you got to call your broker. We'll give you 15 minutes. You can actually call your broker and say, hey, purely coincidentally, right now I certainly need to buy, you know, whoever's going to benefit from the next defense policy contract, the infrastructure bill. Maybe I need to short a company that's about to be investigated by the Department of Justice. Maybe I work at the SEC and I know we're about to investigate one of the banks and make a big announcement. This is how Washington, D.C. gets rich, too. Wouldn't it be great to know all of the big policy things, like $1 trillion coming out of Washington, D.C.? Well, let me explain. Let me backtrack on that. I hate when I say things like that. When they announce that $1 trillion is going to be stolen from our grandchildren and be given to infrastructure corporations, wouldn't you like to know about that ahead of time? This has happened endlessly. China trade deal. How many China trade deal tweets went out? Now, I'm not laying this just at Trump's feet, but he's especially bad at this. If you go back and look at Donald Trump's tweets and imagine yourself being in favor in his organization and his administration, I'm just saying, maybe you all believe that everybody surrounding Donald Trump is as pure as the driven snow and they would never trade on inside information. But I'm a little more suspicious than you. I would say a little more realistic than you. And this is how they go. I wanted to also bring up this story. You know, talk about the scam of this two-party system, the political theater I talk about endlessly on this show. Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell have come out and said, no bailouts to the blue states. These Democrat-run hell holes have to live in the bed that they have made for themselves. We will not ask the American taxpayer to pony up. Why should somebody from Kansas be bailing out somebody, some politician in Manhattan? It's very tough political talking points, I got to say. But behind the scenes, there's this. On April 9th, amidst plunging economic conditions, the Federal Reserve announced a set of lending policy initiatives that included a new, quote, municipal liquidity facility for state and local governments. Now, I've talked about this before, but this is a little more detailed, so I'm going to make sure you really understand that I know what I'm talking about. For legal authority, the Fed cited the emergency lending provision in Section 13, paragraph 3 of the Federal Reserve Act. Now, there's a lot of people, and I could go through this story telling you that it's probably illegal for them to be doing this. This is not the Fed's mandate to be buying corporate bonds, junk bonds, municipal bonds. But they are, and nobody's going to stop them. This is a story. It says, the new facility is unprecedented. It is available to cities and counties meeting population requirements in all 50 states. That includes the blue states. And when it talks about meeting population requirements, I talked about this the other day. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was something like 1 million or 2 million people. What does a city with 1 to 2 million people in it or more remind you of? Not flyover country, huh? Not the conservative bastions. It's talking directly about blue cities in blue states. $500 billion. The lending facility is operated by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The facility may lend as much as $500 billion. Now, I'm getting to the payoff here. Hold on a second. Let me get down here. Let's see who's getting it. Who's already signed up to get some of this sweet grandchildren-backed Federal Reserve notes? And again, this isn't government spending, so it doesn't go on the debt books. It's kind of hidden from you. Of course, the taxpayer is the collateral for these loans through the Fed, because ultimately you're responsible for the Fed's balance sheet. Oh, where is this? Municipal governments aren't banks, but it's difficult to escape the conclusion that the city of Chicago, Cook County, and the state of Illinois are all balance sheet insolvent. But that doesn't matter. To qualify as an eligible issuer, states, cities, counties must meet thresholds for credit qualities determined by credit rating agencies. Hold on a second. I'm getting to it. It's in here somewhere. This provides a depressing reminder of lessons unlearned from the financial crisis of 2000-2009 with implications for the state of Illinois. And that's who's gone. The state of Illinois became the first entity to use the facility under a transaction that closed last Friday. You are, despite all of the political rhetoric out of the Republicans that want to feed the red meat to their base that says, no, by gosh, by golly, we're not going to stand here and bail out the blue states that have spent wildly and destroyed their cities and their states financially. You're going to hear this all during the campaign. Oh, no, the Republicans are going to stand in the... You got to reelect Republicans and Donald Trump, because if you don't, Biden's going to go in and start bailing out the blue states. It started happening last Friday already with the state of Illinois. A blue, blue, blue state with blue, blue, blue Chicago. The Windy Murder City itself is getting bailed out right now. Nobody will tell you that. Anybody reading this, what I'm reading, it's called Wolf Street. Deep dive on financial stuff. I should read the headline. If you want to fall asleep for most of you, I'll read you the headlines off of Wolf Street. Very dry, no pictures, not sexy headlines about a tweet or about what Nancy Pelosi said or anything, but it is where the real action is happening. The Federal Reserve is handing out $500 billion to bail out the blue states while Republicans convince you that they're standing in the gap and won't allow it to happen. They are lying to you. They know this is going on, and now you do too.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I kind of slipped into my segment. I didn't announce it. What I call the reverse Robin Hood rescue plan that the one-party monopoly in Washington, D.C. has rolled out, and I call it the reverse Robin Hood because if you're paying attention and you listen to the show with any regularity, what's happening is money is being sucked out of the lower working and upper middle class and funneled directly to Wall Street. But no, Mike, I got a check for $1,200. Oh, okay. Well, enjoy that check. Let me tell you what other people are getting. Now, I'm going to read a little bit of a word salad to you here. For people who are not familiar with financial markets, and I know a lot of people don't do that. I don't judge anybody for that. It's pretty boring to most people. I'm just kind of fascinated by it. But I'm going to translate it for you. The Fed will be buying bonds according to a, quote, broad diversified market index of U.S. corporate bonds that is made up of all the bonds in the secondary market that have been issued by the U.S. companies that satisfy the facility's minimum rating, maximum maturity, and other criteria. This indexing approach will complement the facility's current purchase of exchange-traded funds, end quote. Big word salad, isn't it? Real complicated. Don't pay attention to that. That's a bunch of nerd stuff. You don't need to know about that. People smarter than us know what that means. So let me go ahead and translate it for you. That means the U.S. taxpayer is bailing out U.S. corporations right now. You remember when everybody got real upset about it in 2008? Spawned a whole thing. It was called the Tea Party it was. Occupy Wall Street on the left. Everybody was really mad when they spent $800 billion to bail out a bunch of corporations in Wall Street back in 2008. Now it happens every day. And it's black versus white. Republican versus Democrat. Shut down the economy versus open the economy. Those are the things we're involved in. We don't have time right now for these bailouts anymore. More has happened sometimes within a day or two than happened in all of 2008. All of the bailouts in the immediate aftermath of that. Do you know what a zombie corporation is? This is pretty fascinating stuff. Have you heard the term zombie companies? Zombie companies are companies that they don't bring in enough revenue to make debt payments. Now, it's not complicated. For all the accounting tricks and all the complication of GAAP and non-GAAP accounting and all this other stuff, we all understand this, right? If you borrow so much money that all of the income coming into your home is not even enough, not to pay off the debt itself, but to even make the interest payments, that's bad, right? Now, if you find yourself in that situation, the only thing you can really do is try to borrow more money until things improve. Now, this typically does not work. As we all know, we know this intellectually, right? For our own people, it is not more complicated than a household's finances. But a zombie firm is a firm that has got so much debt on it that they can't even, with every nickel they bring in revenue, they can't even make their debt payments. Now, obviously, they have other operating costs. I guess maybe I'm trying to be real specific about this. They can run their business and pay their employees, but all the money they have left over that is not involved in actually operating their business, all the money they have to do, you know, where a healthy company uses that money to expand or grow or pay shareholders or whatever. These companies, every nickel they've got, they can't even make the interest payments on their debt. In 2008, the world's had a bunch of zombie companies out there. The U.S. had 5% of those zombie companies in 2008. We now have over 20% of the world's zombie companies. Now, in a free market capitalist system, zombie companies can't exist because they go, anyone, they go bankrupt, right? They go out of business, they restructure, they get sold to somebody else, somebody buys them for pennies on the dollar because they've mismanaged their money so badly. But in the new economic system we're setting up in the country now, as I said earlier, the Fed just gives them unlimited, almost 0% interest rate money to keep them propped up. That's how they've gone from 5% of the world's zombie firms to 20% of the world's zombie firms, because for the last 11 years, the Federal Reserve, again, you're the collateral for these loans, by the way. You, your labor. Every loan that's made, every penny that's borrowed by the federal government or the Federal Reserve is based on the implied understanding that, hey, we got 330 million people. A lot of them are willing to wake up in the morning and go to work, and we have the ability to go in that paycheck and take whatever we want. They don't really seem to care. It's kind of cool. They don't say a thing. We just take it out, and all they look at is their after-tax income, and they budget everything on that. It's the greatest scam ever. But this is happening right now. These zombie firms are being propped up. They go out and they do horrible, risky things with their money. They operate very bad firms. And instead of letting the natural market processes happen, with you as collateral, loans are made to them to just keep them afloat. And one of the things is, there's a lot of heat going on right now that the Trump administration will not allow us access to who got the PPP loans. Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker who's currently our Treasury Secretary, he says they need to give these firms privacy. Firms that took loans backed by taxpayers don't get privacy. It should be transparent to the taxpayer. That should be the first consideration. We want to know who the money is. And do you want to know one of the reasons that I suspect, and I'm not alone in this, that I suspect they don't want you to know why Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker who's currently our Treasury Secretary, you know why he doesn't really want you to know? Because what's going to happen is if they release that list, some reporter out there, it may even be a bad reporter from the New York Times wanting to hurt Donald Trump, but they won't have to lie this time. They'll just go out and they'll look at some of the big firms that took tens of millions of dollars in these loans and paid their executives huge bonuses while they laid off employees. It's going to be a very, very bad optic to find out who abused the system. A lot of hedge funds got bailed out. A lot of very wealthy private banking family offices got bailed out. These people never saw a reduction, even though they took a bunch of risk and then the stock market turned against them and it didn't look good for them. You as collateral backstopped them. It's happening every day. I don't want to tell you that. You should join me in my MAZ, the Mike Madison Autonomous Zone. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.